For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, with the next readout video from our free Wednesday Wake Up email newsletter, and with thanks to all those in heat-ravaged Edmonton, Alberta, who've made it number 14 on our all-time Views by City list. And also with thanks to plastic for all that it does for us, and to the petroleum industry that makes plastics possible, including my new CO2 detector, so I'll know if the climate crisis has reached my house. And also for causing the ignominious failure of the supposedly vitally crucial talks on plastic in Busan, South Korea, that was also entirely predictable. Now, if you're going, wait, weren't the crucial talks in Baku, Azerbaijan? Well, yes, there were some there that were vital and failed ignominiously and predictably, as vast, pompous global environmental gatherings increasingly tend to do, and then they had another set that failed in South Korea. But not before raising the perennial question, what's the carbon footprint of 175 delegations flying into South Korea, half of them possibly direct from Azerbaijan, to save the climate yet again and not do it? Oh look, that's more than 4,000 people. Better try again next year with twice that many. Now, if you're in danger of losing track of all the lavish international environmental gabfests, an Environment Canada press release explains that, quote, Canada is determined to finalize first-ever global agreement on plastic pollution at INC5, end quote. And, given the Canadian government's track record, its determination to fix something is pretty much a death knell for whatever that thing might be, unless it's overspending. Nevertheless, the press release goes on to explain for outsiders puzzled by acronyms with numbers that, quote, the Fifth Intergovernmental Negotiating Committee, INC5, is part of a series of crucial international gatherings this fall focused on addressing the interconnected crises of pollution, climate change, COP29, and biodiversity loss, COP16, end quote. A series of crucial gatherings, interconnected crisis, and talk everywhere with nary a result to show, unless you count the emissions. Speaking of which, Canada's Captain Carbon, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, jetted from Ottawa to Fredericton to Ottawa to Bermuda to Ottawa to Lima to Rio to Ottawa to Toronto to Ottawa to Montreal to Ottawa to Charlottetown PEI to Ottawa to Florida between November 11th and 29th, but not to Italy. He left that one for Canada's overwhelmed Foreign Minister, Melanie Joly, who offered, quote, a media callback to discuss her participation in the G7 Foreign Ministers meeting that took place in Italy from November 25th to 26th, 2024, end quote. The Climate League universe is, of course, full of such heroes, like the British bureaucrats on whom the Telegraph reports that, quote, net zero civil servants rack up over 3 million air miles this year. Staff in the Department for Energy Security and Net Zero took 1,130 flights between January and September, end quote. But at least they're a bit embarrassed to be found out. Not the Canadian government, which seems to regard piling up the miles as something to boast of, as with many of its dubious achievements. Hence, quote, the Honourable Mary Ng, Minister of Export Promotion, International Trade and Economic Development, is headed to Jakarta, Indonesia, to lead Canada's largest ever Team Canada trade mission to Indonesia and the Philippines, end quote. Largest ever. Wow. How many bureaucrats and lobbyists does it take to fill an airplane? Answer, over 300. Ha ha ha. Still, what seems to us to take the cake here, or whatever they're serving up there in business class, possibly a plum and chocolate, is that Canada's ambassador for climate change, no, really, we do have one, told the House of Commons Environment Committee about having flown to 5 different continents with a huge carbon wingprint from her home in Bern, where her husband is our ambassador to Switzerland, that, quote, as Canada's climate ambassador, I have been asked to represent Canada internationally. That is why I travel as part of my role. I take that responsibility very seriously, end quote. Still, all right-thinking people deplore such excesses, right? The press know we must not fly, or carbon pollution will slay us all, and your little plankton too. Except maybe the bien pensant at the Globe and Mail, who invite the rich among you to, quote, choose your own adventure, end quote, by going on theirs. Quote, join a small group of like-minded, inquisitive Canadians and Globe journalists on an extraordinary journey through Spain with the Globe and Mail, end quote. As for the poor, well, the carbon tax has rather eaten into their travel budget, but we don't know those rubes, do we, darling? Meanwhile, we are all going to die from climate change, unfortunately. Regarding some tainted cucumbers, CTV reports, quote, a recent wave of produce recalls traced back to Salmonella or E. coli have food safety experts on alert. And there are growing concerns we could see a rise in foodborne illnesses in the near future, climate change being a major contributing factor. No, the cucumbers of climate death. And also the plankton of death from the Washington Post. Quote, plankton are the backbone of the ocean and may struggle with what's coming. A pair of papers in the journal Nature shows how plankton are struggling to survive in warming seas, end quote. And of course, quote, plankton are hardly the only marine creatures at risk. Over 40% of reef-building corals are at risk of going extinct, according to a report also released Wednesday by the International Union for Conservation of Nature, end quote. We are all going to die. Or not, because having Google on our computers, we checked, and quote, there are two major groups of phytoplankton, cyanobacteria, blue-green algae, which evolved 3.5 billion years ago, invented oxygenic photosynthesis, and gave rise to all land plants, and microalgae, end quote. Yet again, we insist that species that flourished for hundreds of millions, or in this case, billions of years of much warmer conditions, can survive. Drum roll, please. Warmth. Cyanobacteria even triggered the Great Oxidation Event and the rusting of the Earth during the early Proterozoic, dramatically changing the composition of life forms on Earth, and then rode it to planetary dominance. Now, to be fair, microalgae date back a mere 470 million years, and their appearance merely, quote, marks one of the important evolutions of time, adapted all the photic zones of the Earth, and paved the way for the evolution of other life, end quote. So, clearly, it's pretty fragile. And speaking of fragile, it seems the window is closing on climate change. Yeah, you say old news. But we're referring to a Canary Media hype piece that, quote, these high-tech windows fight climate change and will save you money, end quote. Now, if they save you money, then there's no need for subsidies or regulations. Adam Smith's invisible hand will reach out and close the window. Or Dad's visible one while shouting, are you air-conditioning the whole neighborhood? Either way. But if the fate of the planet really hangs on whether you close the window, then once again, the place is either too fragile to be saved by anything we try, or the problem is so trivial that the panic is inexplicable. Either way. Ah, and from the One Born Every Minute file, Heatmap tells us, quote, these battery startups think they can succeed where Northvolt failed, end quote. Yes, and fools and subsidies rush in. In the newsletter, we also said bah humbug to you, too, to The Atlantic, for having the gall to serve up stale leftovers for Christmas in the form of a piece saying, winter is cooked. It's bad enough having turkey yet again. Must we get this reheated tripe? What's next, the imminent end of Arctic ice? Alas, yes, from Euronews.green, quote, the Arctic could be ice-free by summer 2027, what it means for weather, shipping, and polar bears, end quote. And from Scientific Communism, quote, the Arctic could be functionally ice-free in just a few years, end quote. With all due respect, which in this case is none, we'd rather have last year's fruitcake than this warmed over nothing. Oh, and the Telegraph reports that in Britain, quote, thousands sent eye-watering bills after switching to smart meters, end quote. Mind you, those were mostly just mistakes, often resulting in bills of over £1,000. But the UK can now boast of a smart grid run by smart people, which means, of course, that it now has some of the most expensive power prices in Europe, still behind Germany, but rising fast. And indeed, speaking of £1,000, the same Guardian that cheers on the policies causing it also whines that, quote, average annual energy bill to rise to £1,738 in Great Britain from January, end quote. If only someone was smart enough to figure out why. Also, with the abrupt departure of their woke editor to go birdwatching, we wondered if Scientific Alarmism might get back to the business of reporting on science. But no, the climate obsession rages unchecked, including a piece that says, quote, fast fashion also has a growing impact on the global climate. It is responsible for an estimated 8% to 10% of global greenhouse gas emissions, and its emissions are projected to grow quickly as the industry expands, end quote. And if you believe that one small slice of fashion, or at least we hope it's a small slice, emits 10% of all human GHGs, well, you'll believe anything, and possibly wear it, too. In the newsletter, we also continue our Green Blackout series by looking at the details of IPCC working group papers, because we've already shown that if you only read the IPCC short summaries, or even the long summaries, or the technical summaries, you won't learn a thing about CO2-induced global greening. But here, Unspun is section 2.3.4.3.3 of the AR6 Working Group 1 report, entitled Global Greening and Browning. So yes, you do have to venture deep into the weeds to find the admission, but here it is, quote, "The AR5-WG2 briefly discussed changes in global vegetation greenness derived from satellite proxies for photosynthetic activity. Observed trends varied in their strength and consistency, and AR5 thus made no confident statement on observed changes. The Special Report on Climate Change and Land, SRCCL, subsequently concluded that greening had increased globally over the past 2 to 3 decades, high confidence." And so on. So they do know. They just don't want you to know. And speaking of shady practices by alarmists, how about a hit piece on a well-informed public official who had the audacity to push back against an alarmist distortion of climate science? Following the standard procedure, the trick is to get a reliably biased outfit, in this case the Washington Post, to raise a stink about said public official and rely solely on a misleading quote from a reliably biased expert while failing to tell the readers about all the evidence that backs up the public official and undermines the expert. The occasion was President-elect Trump's nomination of Liberty Energy CEO Chris Wright as Energy Secretary. And Wright has stated in the past that the IPCC does not claim that there are increases in the frequency or intensity of tropical hurricanes. The Post said Wright's claim is wrong. But, as Roger Pilkey Jr. pointed out, they didn't quote the IPCC to prove the point. Instead, they quoted a scientist named James Cawson, who insisted that the IPCC proved it somewhere, somehow. Quote, "It is extremely easy to show that. It is all there in black and white. There is no gray area," end quote. And, Post reporters being what they are, they didn't bother to check whether Cawson was making stuff up, including by failing to tell them what the IPCC really says, or that, also available in black and white, was Cawson's own retraction of an earlier claim on the matter, which the IPCC nevertheless relied on. Finally, from the CO2science.org archive, we know the staple of summer picnics, technically known as Cucumis mellow L, and colloquially as cantaloupe? No thanks. Has been shown to love CO2. So next summer, if you think the cantaloupes you walk past in the grocery store look a bit bigger and healthier than before, now you know why, even if the IPCC doesn't want you to. For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, and unlike climate alarmists, I know that my cell phone and my outdoor gear are plastic-based.